Why we love the Tang Dynasty, exploring the history and charm of what's seen as one of the greatest imperial dynasties in Chinese history. Episode 19, Tang City Life. In this episode, we're focusing on the home of the Tang, the great city of Chang'an, and how it helped the Tang become so prosperous. I'm Bob Jones, and in this podcast series, we're getting to know the Tang Dynasty and attempting to discover how, at its height, it was possibly the most prosperous, interconnected, and innovative country in the world, with a rich and influential legacy that survives to this day. All through this series, we've referred to the marvel that was the Tang capital, Chang'an, nowadays roughly covered by the city of Xi'an. As the focal point of a powerful economic and social empire, it inevitably became a wonder to behold, a shining beacon of architecture and city design, home to peoples from across the empire and far beyond. But the city's story goes back way beyond the time of the Tang. Chang'an, meaning perpetual peace, has been the ancient capital of some 13 dynasties in Chinese history. Xi'an, by the way, means Western peace. The land it sits on was first settled in Neolithic times, but the city's center and boundaries have shifted only marginally since then. During the Qin Dynasty, some 800 years before the Tang, the imperial court built a massive mausoleum guarded by the world-famous Terracotta Army, with its models of at least 8,000 soldiers and their horses in three excavated pits covering an area of 20,000 square meters. Its discovery in the 1970s was arguably the most important archaeological find of the 20th century. It saw rapid growth by the time of the Tang, and in its heyday was one of the largest and most populous cities in the world. Around 750 AD, it was called the City of a Million People, with modern estimates putting the population within its city walls as certainly more than 800,000. Chang'an was certainly full of people, and it was these people and their activities which defined the development of this amazing city. But of course, there were reasons why people settled there in the first place. Chang'an sits in the middle of the Guangdong Plain. As such, it was easy to defend militarily, and the economy already had a solid foundation, thanks to trade and agriculture. Two crucial conditions when considering where to build a capital. In military terms, because the plain is surrounded by high mountains, with rivers supplying a plentiful source of water, it almost created a massive castle which would be easy to defend. The Qinling Mountains stand to the south, the Longshan Mountains to the west, the lowest plateau to the north, and the Yellow River in the east providing another key natural barrier. It made any settlement in that area hard to attack and easy to defend. But that's not enough in its own right, especially if you were a dynastic leader intent on ruling the whole world. There is an old saying that emperors must live upstream, which means they should always have the upper hand and remain in control. Prior to the middle of the Tang Dynasty, economic and cultural activity was centered on the middle and lower reaches of the Yellow River. So these were the areas that needed to be defended and controlled. Another good reason to choose Chang'an. Which brings us to communications, in its widest sense. The Wei River and Yellow Rivers were vital to economic activity in the area. Not only did it allow the movement of people to wherever they were most needed, but it also allowed crops, especially grain, to be disseminated throughout the empire safely. But there were also roads fanning out in all directions, delving deeply into vast areas of economic activity and leading to distant markets. In the mountains surrounding the Wei River Basin, there are only two easily accessible roads through to the south, concentrating traffic and forming the beginning of the ancient Silk Road. Under the Tang, the city was a major religious center, not only for Buddhism and Taoism, but also for several religions which were relatively recent arrivals in China: Zoroastrianism, Nestorianism, and Manichaeism. The most well-known of the Buddhist pilgrims, Xuanzang, made famous by the classic Chinese story Journey to the West, was greeted on his return in 645 like a pop star. Apart from the remarkable feat of his journey, his great accomplishment was to bring back copies of the Indian scriptures, which he spent his remaining days translating. One of the few major buildings left in Xi'an today is the Big Wild Goose Pagoda, first built in 652 to house the library that Xuanzang had collected. One Japanese pilgrim noted that there were over 300 Buddhist temples in Chang'an. But what was it actually like to live in Tang's capital, Chang'an? By the time of the Tang, the vibrant economic activity, relative safety, and good communications of Chang'an ranked it alongside Constantinople and Baghdad as the largest cities in the world. As we know, it was highly cosmopolitan, with many populations from other parts of Asia and beyond. It would have been a colorful and exciting place to live. It had been built along a north-south axis with a grid system, like Beijing, which divided the city into 108 districts, with two large marketplaces, one in the east and one in the west. The main city was surrounded by walls more than 5 meters high. Every day, the administrators of the two marketplaces would beat gongs 300 times in the morning and evening to signify the start and stop of business. People who lived in the districts were not allowed to go outside after curfew. Higher-ranking officials had the privilege to live closer to the central avenue. There was a forbidden park to the northwest, outside of the city, where there was a cherry orchard, a pear garden, a vineyard, and fields for playing sports. There were 3 gates on each side, with 6 wide avenues leading between them. The narrowest of these was 25 meters wide, not just to cope with all the traffic, but also to provide a fire break. As many houses were made of wood, fire was a constant problem. In 843, a large fire destroyed 4,000 homes and warehouses in the East Market. But because of the design of the city, the blaze was largely quarantined. The imperial court further improved conditions by planting fruit trees along the avenues. There were lakes and ponds, which added to the quality of life for city dwellers. There were 5 transport and sanitation canals running through the urban area, which were also used to transport crucial goods throughout the city, such as charcoal and firewood in the winter. Everything was highly organized. Much of Chang'an was destroyed during its repeated sacking during the An Lushan Rebellion, and it never fully regained its glory and ambiance. It was repeatedly occupied and then taken back by Tang imperial forces. As a result, the openness of its culture took a hammering, and several laws were passed segregating foreigners and Han Chinese. One edict forced some people from the West to wear their ethnic dress, banned them from marrying Han women, and prevented them from pretending to be Chinese. After a bloody few years, the walls were eventually torn down and the materials moved to Luoyang, which became the new home of the Tang court. It was never to enjoy the same status or contain the beauty it had in earlier generations. Soon, nature took control and much of the land it occupied was used for farming. Gone were the days when Chinese agricultural civilization reached its peak in the Tang dynasty, when industry and business in cities and towns boomed. The days when every household had a plentiful supply of food and every granary was stuffed with grain were gone. Even after the collapse of the Tang at the beginning of the 10th century, Chang'an continued to play a role in the Western trade, the Silk Road, and experienced a revival under the Ming Dynasty, which began in the late 14th century. The city of Xi'an still preserves something of its former cosmopolitan culture, most notably in its large Muslim community. But it can only ever be a shadow of the glory it enjoyed during the great Tang Dynasty. Special thanks go out to San Lien Zhongdu for their help in creating the content for this show. This is Bob Jones. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time.